Hello, friends. This is Bob Ilson at the passenger terminal of the American Airline flagships, where we have some interesting guests today. And our first guest today is a very interesting gentleman. His name is Mr. Harry Black Young. He is Secretary of the Board of Foreign Missions of the Presbyterian Church in the United States. Mr. Young, is it true that you were a boyhood friend of Ernie Pyle?
Yes, we were in Indiana University together and studied journalism there together.
What kind of a fellow was he? What can you tell us about him? I don't know of any writer or correspondent who was more loved during the war than Ernie Pyle.
He had a great whimsical charm that we all remember, and his ability was quite obvious in those days, as it proved to be later.
Was that his ambition even in those days, to become a writer?
Yes. He was the manager of the Indiana University baseball team and went to Japan on that trip. That was his first touch with Asia, and he always talked about going back there as a foreign correspondent.
Mr. Young, what about your job as Secretary of the Board of Foreign Missions of the Presbyterian Church? That must be a very interesting job, and how long have you had it?
Well, I have been an executive officer of our board for 11 years. Before that, I was dean of a college in Persia for 10 years. Before that, I was with the Associated Press in Europe. I was covering the coronation of the Shah of Persia back in the middle 20s and was so impressed by what our mission college was doing in Tehran that I resigned my press connections, came back and did graduate work, and went out as an educational missionary. Now, I am involved in supervising our work in 27 countries with 1,200 missionaries in hospitals, schools, churches, colleges, agricultural projects, and the like.
How much of your time do you spend traveling, Mr. Young?
I'm out of the country a third of the time, out across the country a third of the time, and at headquarters a third of the time.
What are some of the most interesting places you've been to recently, or what are some of the recent stops you've made?
I've been out in West Africa recently. The situation south of the Sahara in Black Africa is a very interesting one. Since the war, the African is feeling a part of the world in a new way. Since uranium has been discovered in the Congo, he feels that he is really part of the atomic world.
Where else, what other spots are there where the missionaries can do the most good today?
The Philippines is one of the most interesting and challenging places. During the war, the Filipino guerrillas were many of them graduates of our Silliman University, and now we have urgent calls for new professors there.
You know, the things you've mentioned, you said you were dean of a college in Persia for 10 years?
Yes.
That must have been a very interesting job. What kind of a college was it?
It was the only higher educational institution in Persia at the time. We had a charter in the New York Board of Regents and gave an A.B. degree under their auspices. I was professor of literature.
Mr. Young, where do you make your headquarters here in the United States?
In New York City.
And how do you people, at this end of the line, how do you diagnose just exactly where the spots are in the world that need missionaries the most and need help the most?
Well, we find it rather difficult to pick any one spot over against another. After all, today, all around the world, you have members of the Christian community, and we're all working together toward the betterment of conditions.
How long were you in Moscow as a correspondent?
About a year.
About a year's time? When was that? Do you remember?
It was in 1924 and 25.
And things that time, was there any indication at that time of the world unrest that we had here in the Second World War?
Well, it was at the end of the first five-year plan, and things were brewing as far as the Soviet power was concerned. Things have changed a great deal since then.
Have you noticed lately, and you probably have, Mr. Young, in the papers, the about-face and the attitude that the Russians are taking that's quite encouraging on the peace side of the world situation?
Yes.
I think in the newspapers everything has been quite encouraging, don't you?
Yes, quite so.
Mr. Young, thanks an awful lot for being our guest today. I know you're worried about getting your plane, and I'd like you to try a shave with our product. It's Crank Shave Cream, and it's a great product. And once you use it, I'm sure you'll never use anything else.
All right. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much for being our guest. That was Mr. Harry Black Young, who is Secretary of the Board of Foreign Missions of the Presbyterian Church here in the United States. Friends, putting on this program from day to day is a job, and an enjoyable one. But as a matter of fact, it's really two jobs. My first is to conduct interviews, which we hope you enjoy, and then my second is to convince you that Crank Shave Cream is really a great product. And believe me, friends, when I say that part of my job is as pleasing to me as the other, I really mean it. I'm convinced from my own personal experience shaving with Crank Shave Cream every day, and from the experiences that hundreds and hundreds of men have told me about, that Crank Shave Cream containing dioxin is the greatest discovery that ever hit the shaving business. I'm so absolutely sure that you're going to like Crank Shave Cream that if you'll just try a tuber jar, the shaves you get will be the quickest, most comfortable you've ever had, or upon proof of purchase, you get double your money back. How about asking at your drugstore for a tube or jar of Crank Shave Cream containing whisker-wilting dioxin and prove to yourself that what I say is true? That's Crank's, K-R-A-N-K-S, Crank Shave Cream containing dioxin. And now we're going to ask this gentleman to be our guest. His name is Mr. Henry Goddard Leach, and he is president of the American Scandinavian Foundation. And also, for 18 years, from 1922 to 1940, Mr. Leach edited the Forum and Century magazines. Mr. Leach, what is meant by the American Scandinavian Foundation? What does that involve or entail?
Well, the American Scandinavian Foundation is an educational institution that was set up a long time ago to sponsor the intellectual relations between the United States and four countries of Northern Europe, Denmark, Iceland, Norway, and Sweden.
And how long have you been active in the association?
I've been active about 35 years. At that time I left Harvard to be secretary of the foundation.
I hear that you just had a very interesting trip on one of our planes recently.
I did indeed. I went over and back very comfortably. Well, we're by the Atlantic by day and back by night.
You had, where'd you say you had breakfast?
I had breakfast in Copenhagen and supper in New York on the same calendar day.
Really, the world is really making progress, isn't it?
It certainly is. A century ago, Hans Christian Andersen, instead of writing a fairy tale, wrote about the time 100 years from now when people would come to Europe via the Scandinavian countries and they'd come by air. And all that's being realized.
Mr. Leach, when you talk about the Scandinavian countries, would you tell us something about the different Scandinavian countries and something about each one of them?
Well, they are very alike and they're all very different. There's Iceland, which is one of the smallest nations in the world. It is now a republic, which is, according to statistics, the most literate country in the world, where they print more books per capita than any other country. And there is Sweden, which is a very large country, extending north and south more than 1,000 miles, and with people scattered all over the country running their farms and their factories. And there's Denmark, which is all water and mountains. And people cultivating little patches up on the sides of the mountains. And there's Denmark, which is an island country, where 4 million people are all huddled together in a small compass, and where they all talk to each other very rapidly, so that the Danish language changes more rapidly than the other three Scandinavian languages, apparently because the people are talking it so fast that they have to cut out the letters.
Mr. Leach, you were saying that you thought we could learn a lot from the Scandinavian countries.
We certainly can learn a lot. They're very level-headed people, very rational in everything they do. They are democratic just in the sense that we are, and perhaps even more so. They emphasize the individual citizens. Everything's set up so that everybody has the utmost liberty he possibly can, and they provide he doesn't upset the community. So that they have worked up legislation of all sorts so that labor and capital can get on together, and the farmers can get on with the factory workers. And everything compared to what happens in the United States runs along very smoothly.
You were saying something very interesting about their labor setup over there.
Well, they have the labor thing set up so that it's very difficult to have a strike, very unnecessary. You see, instead of waiting until something happens and then having a series of meetings and a scene, the working men and the employers always meet day and night throughout the year. All the little industries have their committees working and they're constantly readjusting prices. So the thing never comes to, or very seldom ever comes to a crisis. And if it does, why, they have a court in Denmark. There's a court. Half of the members of the court are appointed by labor and half by the employers, and there's one appointed by the government. And they're usually able to settle everything without submitting it to the government at all.
Would you tell us something about the honorary degree that you received in Sweden last year?
It was a sort of a compliment of the Swedish University to the United States, the old University of Uppsala, one of the oldest universities in the world, even older than Harvard in America. They had their 350th convocation, and the faculty decided that they would give a degree to a foreigner. And they decided that the foreigner should be an American, and for some reason they chose me. So I'm now wearing the ring of the ancient University of Uppsala.
Mr. Leach, as you look back on some of the things you've done in your life, what about the years that you spent as an editor of Forum and Century?
Well, I used to be called the Tex Rickett of the magazine world because I was a sort of an intellectual pugilist, having people debate on questions. I even had an article by the Imperial Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, which was based on Aristotle and the Greek philosophers, in which he tried to prove that the Americans were the most intolerant people in the world, and that was our chief virtue, intolerance, which we'd inherited from the Puritans. And, of course, the other people spoke on the other side. Oh, we had debates on things like the Catholic question and the sex and everything that was current in the people. They just debated it one way or the other, and sometimes we had six sides of one question. So it was a general intellectual free-for-all, a clearinghouse for cantankerous ideas. But I was told that I would be shot sometime, but nothing ever happened.
Well, Mr. Leach, thank you very much for this interesting interview. By the way, how do you feel about the progress of the United Nations organization? Do you feel that there's a ray of hope, that things are going along?
I think that that conversation and speech-making on important issues are a healthy thing. I think it's better to talk and debate about going to war for 5 years than actually fighting. And eventually people get tired of talking about things and get down to business.
Well, Mr. Leach, thank you so much for giving us this very interesting interview, and I hope you'll try a shave with our product. It's Crank Shave Cream, and it's a great product. And once you use it, I'm sure you'll never use anything else.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you very, very much, sir. That was Mr. Henry Goddard Leach, president of the American Scandinavian Foundation. Friends, we'd like you to try a jar or tube of our product, Crank Shave Cream. It's the only shave cream containing that marvelous new discovery, Diexin, the wonder worker that softens your whiskers in seconds, and this means the quickest, smoothest, most comfortable shave you've ever had. Well, this is Bob Elson saying goodbye for today from the passenger terminal of the great American airline flagships. Friends, this is the last week to get your airline's map, the only map of its kind in the world, a map you can't buy any place at any price. It's a thing of beauty lithographed in five striking colors, a big man-sized map, practically 2 feet by 3, just the thing for some room in your home or in the office. You'll find it fascinating to trace each route of the skyways and see listed and illustrated on the map hundreds and hundreds of places you've heard of or dreamed of. And suddenly you'll find yourself on an imaginary plane flight looking down at some of the world's adventure-filled places. All you do is mail a Crank Shave Cream box top or facsimile addressed to Crank's Crank Shave Cream and care of this station, and you'll receive this wonderful map fully postpaid and without any cost to you. So ask your druggist for a tube or jar of Crank Shave Cream containing Diexin. Remember, the offer expires midnight Saturday, December 7th. Mail the box top with your name and address to Crank Shave Cream, K-R-A-N-K-S, in care of this station, and I know you'll be delighted. Friends, this is the last week you can send for that big, handsome, beautifully colored airline's map. It's packed full of all kinds of useful and fascinating information with hundreds of illustrations. Remember, the offer ends Saturday, December 7th. Remember, that's Crank Shave Cream, the only shave cream containing that marvelous new discovery, Diexin, the wonder worker that softens your whiskers in seconds. Now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye for today from the passenger terminal of the great American airline flagships.